Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. That patio you've been dreaming of is more affordable than you think. When you do it yourself, you save. Get free estimates using our landscaping design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on the largest selection of concrete landscaping blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen. I do appreciate you. And as always, feel free to reach out, Jeff at beekeepingfornewbies.com. So I don't know if you guys can hear this or not, or if it's just me, but this is the first recording in my new professional studio, aka the spare bedroom that was once my oldest daughter's bedroom that I am now moving all of my junk into. Anyway, it's a disaster in here, but what I'm noticing is I think I'm getting the echo because of the walls. It's just a little bit of a different thing I'll have to figure out. But once I get all my equipment and everything in here and it's all set up and everything is the way it needs to be, we'll see how it sounds from there. But what I wanted to do really was just touch base there by check-in and wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. If you're not in the U.S., you probably don't care. But in the U.S., you know, of course, this is a pretty big holiday, big travel holiday, lots of people flying and driving all over the place. And I just wanted to wish everyone safe travels and have a great, happy day. Try to stay out of trouble. Don't do anything I would do, all that kind of good stuff. But I figured while I had you here, I would go ahead and just talk about a couple of things. We had a few questions that have popped up recently in the Discord room. So I want to go ahead and answer a couple of those and give you just a few updates on where we are. Let me go ahead and just do a couple of updates that I have notes on. And then we'll go through, answer the questions, and wrap it up here. So I have been aggressively working. So I posted a note on the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage recently about a new initiative that I'm undertaking here. And I was holding off on making an official announcement. I didn't have everything in place that I wanted to, but I finally got everything where it needs to be. So we're putting together a master beekeeper program. I am crazy excited about this. I'm going to actually dedicate an episode to this, and I'm going to talk pretty much at length about how it's different from other programs, why I think it's infinitely better for the right person. I think it's not necessarily going to be a good fit for everyone, but I'll explain all of that to you. But right now, I'm just laser focused on getting as much documentation put together, getting everything in the hands of my designated master beekeeper peer reviewers as part of a review board. So there's a lot of things going on with it right now. It's really, really busy, but I really want to wait until like three or four little tiny things are all locked down, and then I'll do a full episode where I can put all the information out there for you. But it's going to be a really exciting program. Obviously, if you're a listener of the podcast, there's going to be some discounts in place for you. They're going to have some early adopter discounts. I'm thinking of everything I can to find a way to get, you know, get people on board, because I think it's going to be pretty amazing. So I've been spending a lot of my time doing that pretty much every day, in addition to that master's program that I started, which it's killing me. It's killing me. I'm too old for that. But it's really informative, learning a lot of good things, and we'll see how that goes. We're just like 3 weeks away from being done for the year. I do need to offer a quick apology. We had the thing going on with the podcast host. I was shuffling around lately. Long story short, you know, I'd had a discussion. I know I've told you before, but not everybody comes in at the same place when they listen. But I had a host and things were going okay. I mean, they had decent features. They did not have very robust reporting. I couldn't really tell where everybody was coming from, how long people were listening. You know, the things that I need to really make sure that I'm tailoring the podcast to you so that you're getting what you want. I didn't have access to those types of utilities and metrics. And then I was talking to a guy and he was like, yeah, this is how much money I make every year on my podcast. And he makes more in a month and a half than I make than I've made in like all 4 years combined or something like that. I did the math and it's just ridiculous. So I was like, you know what? I think it's time to make a little bit of a change. So I shopped around and I said, okay, I'm going to go to, you know, host number one. And then I had a problem with them. And like I went to four or five different ones and there was something with all of them that just was not a good fit. So the host I'm with right now, it's Buzzsprout and they're okay. But if you saw my joke in the Discord room, you know, I got paid today. I got my first 7 cents for ad revenue, but I'm not making anything now, which kind of stinks, but you know, I'm not super worried about that. It's never been a huge revenue generating activity for me anyway. It's really been more about the beekeeping and the fun and all of that. However, if I'm doing the same work as somebody else and they're making, you know, 10 or 20X what I am, I'd like to kind of figure that out. So anyway, I moved around quite a bit. I'm sure that may have caused some disruption for you trying to listen, so I apologize for that. I am relatively stabilized for right now, but there is a really good chance that I'm going to be making a move again, and hopefully I'll get locked in with a provider that has all the features, the capabilities, the analytics, and everything that I'd like to have, and hopefully ultimately to be a better experience for you all too, because that's the other thing that I'm trying to figure out. For example, I want to be able to create exclusive content for you, but I want that to be like where I can give you a trial. Like you can just message me and say, hey, I want to try it for a week and see what it's like. And I can hand it to you for free and they don't automatically bill you. I want people to be able to check it out, see if it's worth their money. And, you know, or if I want to do something completely different, I want to have control over how people are getting charged, because I don't want people getting charged for stuff that they're not able to take advantage of. So there's just a lot of things that I'm looking at. 100% my problem, not yours, but just want you to be aware of what's going on in the back end. And I know I mentioned this in a previous episode, but I'll just mention it one more time, and then I'll hopefully be able to drop it off my list. But the episode renumbering, if that was confusing for anybody, I do apologize. But I wanted to be able to look at everything and just see, where is episode one? What's the total count? I was getting confused. I would sit down to do a bee buzz, and I'd be like, crap, which one is it? Or which in the news? Or which whatever was it? And I just was like, you know what? We just need to get them a single numbering system and just be done with it. So that's wrapped up. I think we're on, this should be 117 now. And hopefully we won't have any more issues with numbering. So if you go and log in, you see episode 67, I think was the last one from the old provider. Please let me know. I've gone around manually because several of my syndicates didn't get the memo and got everything figured out manually with them to make sure that they're giving you the right content and everything. So that is now officially off my list. So I only had one other thing on my, well, no, I have two actually, sorry. So one thing that was kind of on my list is something I've been thinking about lately a lot. And I feel like it's really unprofessional and people would frown upon it and it would make me laugh a lot, but it would be, again, not really accepted very well by the general public. But I was thinking back to like the Army days and how we used to just nonstop harass each other about stuff. It didn't matter. There was always somebody giving somebody a hard time about something. And it's just how you grew that kind of connection with each other by bullying each other and joking around and stuff. And I mean like fun bullying, not like, you know, like wedgie bullying. But I started thinking about like how funny it would be for me to start doing that kind of stuff to like other beekeepers in the community. It's like someone's like, hey, I watched this video by David Burns. And I'd be like, oh yeah, he sucks so bad. He's terrible. You should never listen to him. Oh, Kimon Reynolds, he's the worst. You know, like I started thinking about how funny it would be like to me to jokingly do that. And then I realized that like, we're not like all buddies who hang out and joke around about bees. So I don't know if that would be well received. So for the record, I think those guys are both very great professional beekeeper people. And I was just thinking about how fun it would be to harass them and bully them and everybody else. Anyway, I know I'm weird. Bear with me, folks. But it kind of dawned on me the other day. I think it was yesterday or the day before I was thinking about this. And I was reminded of just how much where I am right now with my opportunity to talk to you, just how much that used to be almost exactly like my job when I was in sales, technology sales, because we spent like 95% of our time talking about selling and strategies and getting in front of customers and figuring out what things would resonate with them the most and how to bring not just value to what they do, but to bring some unique level of value to them. And then you spend like maybe 3 to 5% of your time like actually doing the fun part of meeting your customers and getting in front of them and hanging out. And I think that the podcast to me has become just like that. Like I run around looking for like new hosting platforms and syndicates and relevant advertisers and, you know, good things to use for material and subjects and on and on. And then I get to actually talk to you for like 30 to 60 minutes a week. But that's such a small fraction of a percentage of the time that I spend, you know, planning and thinking about it. And it kind of sucks. I started thinking, hey, you know, it'd be really cool is if I could pull off the Joe Rogan thing, right? If I could talk for 3 hours a day and just be like, boom, 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 and just ramble about bee stuff. And it's like everybody I know around my house and stuff, like they avoid me like the plague because they know I'm going to start talking about bees, or I'm going to start talking about my 89 Ford Bronco or my excavator being for sale, which I serviced that today, by the way, fresh oil change, new fuel filter, new air filter, both inner and outer. So if you're looking for an excavator, hit me up. Forestry mulch or all that stuff is with it. Anyway, but they know I'm going to be talking about the excavator and bees and, you know, my apiary and the cabin build and my welding projects and all the other stuff that I keep blah, 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 like rambling about. So I start talking, man, people start disappearing. Or as my dad would say, they would scatter like cubby quail. But I'm seriously, so if you guys say the word, I got to figure out a number. Maybe if like 10% of the average weekly listeners respond back and say, yeah, we want to hear you talk for 3 hours, you might just get what you're asking for because I got a little bit of downtime. Okay, let me go ahead and jump into some questions here. There is a question from, and I don't have it in my notes, but I know it's Jose in the Discord room. And he's talking about buying what he calls fancy bee packages. And I think what he means by this is buying bee packages that have a queen of a certain genetic type or of a certain known good origin. And he's basically saying like, you know, like, hey, does it make sense to buy, you know, those types of packages like from Randy Oliver or Michael Palmer? Does it make sense to spend the money, you know, buying the genetics that these guys have? I haven't priced it out myself. I haven't actually gone and looked it up to say, okay, a package of bees now, it's, I don't even want to look. It's too scary. But let's say it's $125. I know somebody's going to give me a hard time, be like, oh, it's $200 now. But let's say it's $125 for a package of bees. But you can order Randy Oliver or Michael Palmer's bees for $175. Is it worth it? I would say if you are getting their genetics and you're close to them in proximity, might be a pretty good deal. You've got bees that have the genetics for that area, and they've overwintered over and over again. They're resistant to certain disease or whatever it might be. It may very well be worth it. If you're buying bees from Georgia and expecting them to do well in Montana, I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the best strategy. I feel like while you can make that work, I think it's a tiny bit of an uphill battle just because you're buying bees that don't live where you are. Now, bees are resilient and they're tough and they're very adaptable. So, you know, you might be perfectly fine. I've gotten, you know, bees from Georgia for many years and then bred for the genetics that I like. And then I really didn't have as many winter losses. But if you live in, you know, Maryland and you're buying bees from California or Vermont or Georgia, you know, I feel like you're not going to get a huge difference, in my opinion, by spending the extra money. But if it was a $25 or $30 difference, you know, why not? Try a couple and see what happens. But I wouldn't put it super high up on my priority list. Next question is, do you buy your queen in the beginning of spring or do you let your bees handle it? And I think what they meant by that is when you're doing splits. So if you're going to do it, you know, you're going to go ahead and say you have two colonies and you want to split each of them so that you have four colonies. Do you wait for a queen cell and then use the queen cell from your hive and then let the bees raise that queen cell in the new split? So I've done this a couple of different ways. The way I really recommend you do it is if you have the queen cells there, take your existing queen and sort of synthetically split her by moving her and part of the colony somewhere else. Move them out as the split, just like they would if they swarmed. And then leave the capped queen cell or multiple queen cells behind and, you know, let the new colony raise them that way. Now, the advantage to that is there's no cost with it, right? You leave a queen cell behind, that queen emerges, she goes out, gets mated, comes back, and you're, you know, back in business. The downside to it is that, one, you know, there could be a problem. I've had queen cells that did not hatch for whatever reason, queens that did not emerge. I've had queens that have emerged, gone out on a mating flight, and not made it back. Those types of things are really disruptive. So if you have several colonies and you're just trying something new to kind of play around with, yeah, roll the dice and see if they'll come back. I probably get about a 70% return rate on queens, something like that. So, I mean, you know, it's worth a try. But if you're a, you know, smaller apiary and you're a hobbyist, maybe you had, you know, two colonies, you overwintered, let's say maybe one of them didn't make it, you're just trying to get whole again, I'd recommend looking to see if you can find a queen bee supplier near you. That would be my first recommendation. Get one near you, good mated queen. You can bring her in, introduce her with the new split. Go ahead and just perform the split and then introduce her after a day of them, you know, being queenless, a day or two of them being queenless. And that's kind of the way that I would do it. So you can do it. The short answer is you can do it either way. I like to have a queen ready to go when I'm doing the split, or do the split and then get the queen the next day, something like that. Next question here is, for rearing your own queens, if I took a frame with a bunch of swarm cells and I put it into a nuc, would they all emerge and then go to get mated, or would they fight beforehand? And how to keep them around until it's time to use or sell one? I just imagine a bunch of mated queens coming back and throwing hands with each other is what the person put in the Discord room. I also know who this is as well. Yeah, so the answer is what happens is typically if you've done your own queen cells, let's say you've done, you know, your grafting, because it says you're rearing your queen, so you've grafted everything on the same day, you're going to get your queens to emerge, you know, right around the same day. They all, you know, right around day 16, you know, you should have queens emerging, and they should all come out, you know, within the same day, within the same like 24-hour period, roughly. The first one that comes out, the first one that emerges, and I always say the first one that's born. I don't know why I get hung up on that. Like, I say that all the time. I'm like, the queen is born. The queen is born. The worker is born. They're not born. They emerge. There's no mammalian kind of thing going on here. But anyway, when the queen emerges, the first one that comes out, she's going to run around the hive, and she's going to be looking for other queens in the cells that have not yet emerged. And you can tell this if you've left a queen, or if you've left a hive alone, just let them swarm and do whatever they want to do. You'll see one queen cell that was opened from the bottom, and then you'll see others that have holes torn in the side, and there's still a dead queen inside there. So she'll tear the side of it open, sting the other queen that hasn't even emerged yet while she's still in her queen cell. So now there are times when they're emerging around the same time. You know, one comes out, she makes her way all the way out, the next one pops out on another frame, and then they have a little fight. So you can have, you know, a big battle royal, but, you know, a lot of times, I don't leave like 15 or 20 queen cells inside of a, you know, inside of a cell builder or wherever I might be putting, you know, queen cells into a hive in order for them to raise that queen and let her go get mated. Maybe I'll do two. You know, you could do three if you've had trouble with them lately for some reason, but you know, two is probably enough. Now, what you can do is if for some reason you have to, and again, it depends on how you're grafting them, but the grafting kit that I use, it's widely available through a lot of places. If you want, just ask me in the Discord room or message me personally, send me an email, whatever, and I'll tell you exactly what I use. But it's basically, it has a cup in it, and it is adapted to fit a queen cell around it. So if you know you've got really bad weather coming in for a couple of days, you can go ahead and put cages around all those queen cells inside the cell builder. So even if those queens emerge, they can't get to each other. The workers that are in there, the nurse bees that are in there, will tend to them until you're able to get them out. This would also apply if you wanted to store them. You know, the question, you know, I think part three or the third question within here basically just says, how do you keep them around until it's time to sell one? A lot of places will do like what they call, I think they call them queen castles, where you basically have really tiny like hive areas compressed into like a big deep or whatever. So maybe you'll have, I don't know, six or eight different divided little sections. I've seen so many different combinations of this, but essentially what you want to do is make sure you find a way to isolate your queens. So you can do it in those cages that I mentioned around the queen cell as they emerge, but they do need space. You do want them to get out and get mated within a reasonable time. You don't want to have them in there for too long because they can get to a point where they'll never mate, and that would be bad. So you want to get them out, you know, within 7 to 10 days, I would say, of them emerging. You want to have them out and ready to go. I wouldn't really push it beyond that. And I'm not saying that you can't. I just haven't experimented with it. I haven't done it, so I don't know for sure. All right, folks. Well, I am going to wrap it up. I just had a couple of quick notes that I wanted to get out for you. And I wanted to make sure I wished everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Wherever you are in the world, have a great day. Have a great weekend. And we will be back again. I don't even know. Let's see. I'm not sure what I've got next. I've got a list of a million things in there, but we'll see what we can get to next after the holiday. I don't think I'm going to record anything because there's just too many people around. It's a little hectic. Anyway, take care. Be kind to one another. Remember that I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
Open the door to savings with beautiful Mastercraft doors at Menards. Mastercraft steel entry doors add security and improve the appearance of your home. Choose from our huge in-stock selection or design your door your way with our free step-by-step design program online or in-store. Save big on Mastercraft doors at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big.